W4NGU.
Phil, and how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, but I bet you can't guess what I had in the back of my truck the other day moving them from one location to the other.
Oh, I'd say a crank-up tower.
No, I'll give you a hint. They were printed in 1967.
It was the year my dad married my stepmother. This year we moved to Wellington Green. Okay, I can't fathom what that would be unless it's, I don't know.
And I'm pulling up to my stop, but you're tiptoeing all around it. You're right there at it, but it's the year that Nadine Cole sold yearbooks to the gardeners.
Goodness. Yep. She was a world book salesman extraordinaire. Winchester, I'll never forget that name because of the rifle, and she got several awards and all this, and she helped put us through school.
Alright, I gotta run, I'll catch you later, W4NGU.
Alright, well, you have a good one. W4NGU, KP4CPA Mobile.
Good morning, Phil. See you later. And Gerald TR. Well, do you serve crackers with that wine, Dave?
Use a little wine with that, these crackers. I mean, a little crackers with these wine.
Then you get a DUI. Oh, shoot. Well, it looks pretty out there. We had freezing temperature this morning, though.
Once again, at my house, it's 44, and it's up to 55 now. I'm headed to play tennis again. Looks like it's going to be a repeat. But yesterday, so far as temperature-wise, except minus the little breeze we had, which I will not miss one bit. So, anyway, so what are you up to this morning?
Put off some eggs and bacon, toast, and then had a bunch of white grapes, and sitting here watching Revan on TV on 50-3. I think they was driving an Auburn. I'm not sure. It was one of those with the funny tail end. Don't have any particular plans today. We mowed the grass yesterday and weed-eated, and I think the wife's going to move some flowers around. I haven't decided what the plan of the...
I am super excited because I got my airplane engine started last night. And I sent a video to Dave and to Steve. I don't know if they've seen it. I sent it to them in a text message. So I guess they've seen it, heard it. You can't really see it because by the time I picked the plane up, I was having to hang on to the airplane like crazy because it was, it was wanting to go. It wasn't revved up real high, but it wasn't on idle either. And by the time when I picked the phone up, I evidently hit the button and turned the record off.
Well, I heard you discussing that the other day. Do the engines like that? You said it was four-cycle. Do they have oil in them? I think you decided they don't have oil in the crankcase.
There's evidently no crankcase, and boy, this baby will certainly does scream, I tell you. And when I heard it pop off the first time, then I really got excited, and then the next time I put the starter on it, boy, it cranked up, and oh boy, that was something else. But I had it sitting on top of my toolbox. I got a toolbox. I guess it's about waist high, a little higher, it's a little higher maybe, but it's perfect height to set this thing on and work on it. And my workbench is down in the storage building. I didn't want to take it down there and have to transfer a bunch of stuff, you know, just to get it going. So it's ready. All I got to do is mount the, I have an extender on the glow plug, and I've got to mount that somewhere on the plane, and I'm going to go see Bill tomorrow and for IQ, and we're going to try to work up a deal to get a controller and a receiver from him, and so I'll be ready to fly this thing pretty soon.
WS8D.
WSD acknowledged. Well, Dave, how big an engine in that is that you got in that engine, and then pass it over to the other gentleman?
Enya 80. So it's pretty good size engine. It'll definitely fly this plane. So, you know, like I said, I had to really hang on to it. And go ahead, Breaker.
Hey guys, calls. Whiskey Sierra 8 Delta, Mike here in Campobello. I was listening to you talking about the four-stroke engine. I wondered if it was a single cylinder or dual, and what kind of plane it was going on.
Single cylinder, I honestly don't know what kind of plane it is. I'm kind of new in the hobby. It's about, let's see, it's got a, I think it's a 52-inch wingspan. The wings are on top of the fuselage, and so all it has, all you need is four servos for the controls. Has a big fuel tank on it in the nose there, and so anyway, that's about all I can tell you about it.
Well, it sounds like an interesting plane to play with. I've built three or four RC models and haven't flown in 20 years. I kind of sucked at flying anyway, but I love building them. Biggest engine I played with was the 40. But I wonder, have you guys ever heard of any, or have you guys ever tried flying with diesel engines?
I haven't. I didn't even know they had diesel. I just, this takes me all the way back to when I was a little boy, so my dad built a Piper Cub, and they put a gas engine in it, and it was a free flight, and It had about a 4-foot wingspan. They painted it bright yellow, and boy, that's a pretty airplane. I've got a picture of me squatted down in the yard right behind it, it was something else, I tell you.
Viper Cub, a little half A thing with a Norvell engine on it. I put that thing in my buddy's pond several times, and it survived.
Got pontoons on it, Mike.
It needed a better pilot, is what it needed.
Oh, man. Well, at least you didn't have to worry about it sucking water in the cylinder, when it crashed. If you lost control of it.
Little airplane to fly. Flying it was no problem. It was the landings that sucked for me. I never did get good at that.
That's the same way with the general aviation pilots. That's the hardest part.
Friend, who was going after his private pilot teaching certificate, or whatever that is. So I would pay for the fuel, and he'd take me up, and I'd get a free lesson. And everything was great in the airplane. I really enjoyed it. But again, when it came time to landing, I handed the controls to him, because it just felt wrong.
I want to know all the stats there. I've seen it done. I mean, not in person, but I've seen it on TV, from the cockpit, and but I wouldn't want to try it myself. Just somebody saying do this and do this. All right, guys, I have arrived at the sports club, and it is, man, there are a ton of people here. So I'm going to have to run out. I'm going to have to run. Y'all carry on, and I'll say 73s to both, and y'all have a good day. Enjoy this beautiful day. KB4CBA.
Okay, Dave, have a good game, and we'll talk to you down the line. This is Gerald TR.
Gerald TR, is your name Rusty?
Negative. SWU2T. My name's Tom, N0TR, and that's actually my initials, Mike Tom Rouse.
I said that, I'm thinking, no, that's not right. Sorry about that. You guys have a great day. I wish I could find time to, and the money to continue the flight lessons. I did enjoy that. But, now I'm retired and don't have the money to do that kind of thing.
Well, it's a rich man's hobby. There's no question. You don't get an instructor now for $40 an hour or so, and you don't rent a plane for that much. And then the fuel, of course, is higher. But, I had quite a bit of flying when I was in the Navy. I was in a flight crew on the S-2, a tracker, for about a year and a half, and I switched squadrons to a P-3 Orion squadron, so I don't feel nearly as secure as I did back when I was a kid flying in one of those tail draggers. I went up with my nephew, whom now flies 787s internationally. I went up with him when he was learning in a 150 over Wichita. And, of course, Wichita, Kansas is known for wind. And it felt more like the wind had us than we had the wind. And I don't know. I just don't feel as warm and fuzzy about that anymore. And I took a ride in a very nice plane down here at Greenville, an introductory ride. And same way, it was a Cirrus Probably a $160,000 plane with a glass cockpit and all. And I don't know. It's just the weather changes rapidly around here, and I think I'd rather be up in a paraglider, to be honest with you. I rode in those, too, and I really enjoy them. But I'm like you, Mike. I can't afford to do that, and it would be a quite expensive hobby. Even ultralights have to have a sport license now.
In the P3 Orions, my younger brother was in a squadron P3s in Maine, up in Maine, and I got to visit him on base one time and checked out those airplanes. They were pretty interesting. I've been in gliders. I have a cousin who is part of a sailplane club up in Michigan, and that was neat. That was cool. You know, you get towed up by another aircraft, and they turn you loose, and you hope to find the thermal, get a little more altitude. I've always been intrigued with flying, but I'll try and catch a ride here and there when I can.
Thought about it down here at the airport. They have a flight service, and you can go down there and take a flight in a biplane, and he has like three different options. But I don't know. I've been up in the air a lot, and I still love it. He's got a Stinson biplane. You see it flying over every now and then. And I know Dave Watson, W4DGW, went through almost all of the flight training, but I don't think he ever actually got his license, but he come real close. He does a lot of flying. He's flown everything, RC stuff. Helicopters, drones, and regular RC controlled airplanes, of course, and is extremely smart on that stuff. I've always wanted to do that, but I never did dive into it wholeheartedly. Back when I lived in Kansas, I couldn't afford it, really. It gets kind of pricey, too, nowadays. Even for flying drones, it gets pretty pricey, Mike.
Yeah, that's, it's funny how things change over time. Years ago, I lived in Michigan, and I had a buddy that was another ham radio operator. We were going to the Toledo Air Show, which was the modelers' air show, and things of that nature. One day I was coming home, and I saw a Ford Trimotor flying over the airport near where I lived. So I drove over there, and sure enough, they were giving rides in the Trimotor. So I called him up and says, "Hey, get down here. Let's go for a ride." And that was interesting.
Well, I should ID here. This is in 0TR. The wife and I have been to, and the kids have been up to the EAA convention, Experimental Aircraft Association, in Oshkosh. And that thing was giving rides one after another in that Trimotor. And I think they were only about $70 or something like that. It wasn't too bad. It's been a few years since we've been up there. They usually have it there, and they had the B-17 down here one weekend, and you could fly in it. But I think it was about $400, and that's about the average price for flying in that biplane. But he'll take you up for anywhere from a half hour to an hour, and like I said, there's three different options, and that'd be worth considering in that biplane. That'd be a lot of fun, and he's a very, very experienced pilot.
Stinson, that's a pretty airplane. Never been in a biplane, but you had mentioned the Experimental Aircraft Association. Years ago, I was working for... I worked in rapid prototyping and 3D printing, that kind of thing. And one of our customers was out in Indiana. I forget the name of the town. And I was in Michigan on the West Coast near Grand Rapids. And he called me up and says, "Hey, I've got a problem. Where are you?" And I says, "Well, I'm in Grand Rapids." He says, "Go to the airport. I'll pick you up." So he was flying a plane that him and his wife had put together over the years. And it was a low-wing glass cockpit tail dragger, stick and rudder. And I went to the airport. He picked me up, and I got to fly that a little bit. That was cool.
What was that one?
It was a home built. I don't know the name of the thing. It was a low wing monoplane, glass cockpit, stick and rudder. A pretty airplane. I just don't remember the make.
But he built three airplanes. I'm trying to remember the name. One of them was an old Army tail dragger, and the other one was it was a high wing. And it was cloth, of course. And that I really didn't realize that at the time. I can't remember the name of it. They're quite common. But he built it from scratch, and he took me up to take some pictures of his house because I was doing photography back then. And I really enjoyed that. Frank Bresnik, he just passed away the other day. He was up in his upper 90s now when he passed away. That was fun, and then I took a ride in one, it was a tail dragger, and it was stick, and I was in the back seat, no, I was in the front seat, and he was in the back, and I can't remember the name of those planes, back at Atkinson Municipal Airport in Pittsburgh, Kansas, and that was a lot of fun. He let me actually have the stick when we landed, and it was fun. Well, I found the brochure on this. It says the Upstate's only vintage biplane tour. Wings over Greenville at the Greenville Downtown Airport. Now, this may be a year or two old. The chief pilot is Mike Williams, commercially rated pilot, has over 40 years of flying experience with a special interest in tail draggers and antique aircraft. And it's a 1941 Stearman that's been fully restored. There's one, two, three, four different selections here. This is N0TR. It says the flight, this Bevo Howard flight features an aerial view of the downtown Greenville skyline, including Falls Park, Drive Stadium, a historic West End, a scenic ride over Paris Mountain, neighboring Furman University. It lasts 30 minutes for $150. The Barnstormer is a 15-minute ride for $75. The Charles Lindbergh is the ultimate. It enjoyed the Greenville downtown skyline, and then they go northwest over the lake waters of Jocassee and Kiowee. Both acres encompass thousands of acres. It's $300. And then the last one being the Orville Wright, an extraordinary tour at the edge of the Blue Ridge Mountain, heading north to Lake Robinson and Glassy Mountain, or heading west to Caesar's Head and Table Rock. Either tour circles back over local attractions such as Paris Mountain, Furman University, or downtown Greenville. An all-around flight experience, flight time 45 minutes, price $225.
Yeah, the flights haven't gotten any cheaper, that's for sure. but still fun. I haven't been to an air show in a while. There was one near Charlotte. It was a little airport. Can't think of the name of it. But they had something called Tora Tora Tora, and it was Japanese fighters along with U.S. fighters, and they put on quite a show. And it was fun looking at the just how pretty some of these airplanes were. World War II warbirds. It's always been kind of a fascination, too.
I love the S2Ds and Es. They were carrier-borne aircraft, and there were just four of us in it. There's no sound like a radial engine. But I also will say, like that Stearman, that's really cheap for a ride like that, because those radial engines are extremely expensive to maintain nowadays. And I imagine parts are a lot scarcer for them.
And I was looking at those Mitsubishi airplanes. They had radials, but I can't believe how similar they looked to the engines in the U.S. warbirds. Then again, I wasn't, you know, wasn't exactly examining them close up, but from the ground, they all looked the same.
Japanese Zero, they had quite a few of them up at Oshkosh, and boy, if you ever get a chance to go to that show, it's awesome, and you can stop by Wright Patterson up there what'd you say? Dayton, Ohio, yeah. Bernice said that. my mind's not working yet this morning. Just two cups of coffee down, Mike. But those Japanese Zeros were highly unarmed as far as the protection for the pilot and that. And any little hit, and they turned into a fireball, although they were quite maneuverable and killed a lot of Americans. But they were thin-skinned and really one of the leading aircraft of the day for a while, until we come up with things like the F-4U, etc.
To the Dayton air base there at least a half a dozen times. Living in Detroit and going to the Dayton Hamvention, it was kind of a natural to go to the Air Museum at Wright-Patterson. And if you look around at Wright-Patterson, they had a ME-262 jet fighter from Germany there. And that, to me, was amazing because you see the things on film, and they look kind of clunky. But when you're standing there looking at it, you go, that's a jet.
I mean, really? Oh, thank you, Mr. Von Braun, back in the days. But in the missiles and such. Yeah, our children live, our oldest daughter lives with her family there in West Bloomfield, Mike. And they took us out to that, Danbury, I can't remember the name of the airfield. It's right there by Detroit where they built the B-24 bombers. And they had a museum there, but unfortunately it burnt down in recent years.
Buffalo Run, that's the airport in Ann Arbor. It's pretty close to the Detroit Municipal, well, it's called, what is it called? Anyway, the main Detroit airport. It's not that far away from it. And they had the Yankee Air Museum or some such thing? Had a bunch of, classic airplanes, and the damn thing burned down.
Yeah, they had an R-48 or something like that. It was a huge radial engine in there that you could see the workings of it inside. They were a complex piece of machinery, I'll tell you. But, oh, they sounded beautiful. We had twin Pratt Whitneys. They were 1825, and they were 1,550 horse. And we carried 765 gallons of 115-145 gas.
I like the sound of those radial engines. The other thing I was able to do, whenever I used to travel a lot for work, and so whenever I was in a new town, I would try to find the local air museum. And in Oregon. Spruce Goose sitting there, and they had some P-38. They had some very interesting airplanes. So I got to climb around those things and take a look at them. And I was in Paris, and there's a museum there at, I'm trying to think of the name of the airport. Not De Gaulle, the other one. That was fun because they had a lot of Soviet-era stuff in there. And I love looking at this stuff.
I had MiG-21, I think a MiG-23 at Oshkosh, and they've had other demonstration aircraft come in there. But, I love going to those air shows. Our son-in-law, his mom lives on a big farm over Verona, Wisconsin, so we went there and stayed and then drove over to Oshkosh two or three times. And nothing like it. Well, I got to ride before you needed a license in one of those paragliders back in Kansas, several of them, actually. And that's like riding in a rocking chair. Unfortunately, the landings weren't as good as the takeoffs. The first one had 1-inch fiberglass rods for the shock absorbers. And when we come in, we got about 10 feet off the ground, and the wind stopped, and we lost lift. And when we come down, we actually broke both of those. And that kind of smarted a little bit, not terrible. But then the other one, they were trying to get 200 of them up at the same time. That was quite a sight down by Miami, Oklahoma. And I went up in one, and when we landed, like on the carrier, if we missed the landing and missed grabbing a wire, you'd hear them holler in your headset, "Bolter, bolter." And when this guy hit, we bounced about 6 or 8 feet back up in the air. And I thought, oh my, another one of these landings. And he goosed it. And you know that thing with both of us in it? We just went around and come back and made another approach and landed. I was surprised, but I sort of hollered in his ears, "Bolter, bolter." He didn't know what it was.
Paragliders flying up, not paragliders, but the one, what do you call it? It's a parachute with an engine on the back. It's not really a paraglider. Anyway, I used to see them running up and down I-69 up in Michigan, up near Port Huron. And that looked like fun. The other fun thing I got to experience, or at least watch, in California, there's a place called Torrey Pines, I believe, and it's a cliff face, and there were paragliders there, non-powered, going up and down the edge of the cliff, and it was kind of funny because they were also letting model airplane gliders in that same space. And I see these 2-meter gliders zipping along the doggone cliff, and these guys hanging from parachutes doing the same thing, and I thought that was kind of a bad combination.
This is NZERO-TR. Yeah, they walk among us, Mike. I believe you're right. But that was back before they required this sport pilot license, and I've seen quite a few of those where the parachute's on your back. You'd have to be in pretty good shape. Those motors weigh quite a bit, and they'd take out running and then just go right on up with them, one single guy. And that never did interest me. We got ultralights here just north of our house. We lived just north of Lake Cunningham and near Lake Robinson. And there's some ultralights that fly over here quite often, and 2 or 3 of them. And those look like they'd be fun. As long as you're under about, I think they can withstand 20 knots. but 10 knots would be my comfort zone of crosswind. Out there, there's an air a grass strip just north of us here, and they got a few 150s, 172s, or something in that category up there. But the paragliders, if you lose power, you can go ahead and just keep your glide slope right, and your airspeed doesn't have to be practically anything, and you can make a safe landing. But now they have to have a sport pilot license, and that's required with an instructor up to like 40 hours for a general aviation I know license. But it's quite a bit even for the sport pilot, and economically speaking, you're probably better off just to go ahead and get your general aviation license, because that sport pilot license is pretty expensive now, too. So that eliminated a lot of the paragliders.
See the attraction fading as the money got more and more expensive. Hey, Tom, it was a pleasure talking to you. I'm going to get out of here. I've got to get some things done around the house. And I hope to have a chance to chat with you again. I love airplanes, so hey, it's always a nice topic. 73N0TR, WS8D.
Okay, Mike. Well, I might add my son-in-law, once in a while, if a plant would have a problem or something, he makes, he's a corporate guy, but their manufacturing facility is out near the airport there at... in Detroit, out near the International, but he has to charter a 707 or something once in a while, because, as you well know, in the car industry, I worked, first of all, in a machine shop for 32 years, but later on I worked in a wheel plant that made 55 to 80,000 wheels a month for General Motors and Ford and people, and it's all delivery on time and no exceptions, or else the line shuts down and you get back charged. So you'd have to go out to Willow Run and rent a couple of 707s to get those seats to the right people at the right time. I thought that was kind of interesting. And I imagine expensive. Mike, the pleasure's all mine. It's been very enjoyable, and I love airplanes. We'll talk to you down the line. WS8D N0TR73. I'm going to be clear for now.
73, have a great day. WS8D, off and clear.
W4HI calling. W4HI calling. W4HI for signal check.